Welcome back to Life Saving Ministries. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda, and today we will continue with our study of our duties and daily walks of believers by focusing on the promises of God. Before we begin this very important study, let's stop for a moment and let's pray. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, allow us to come into your presence and seek your face and your grace. Give us this opportunity to know more about you and to gain a clearer understanding of who you are and why your love is so very important. Open our hearts, minds, and ears to comprehend what you have for us to understand today through his message you have given to us. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, we all say, Amen. What do we mean by the word promises? In the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, the word promise means, one, a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified, or a legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of a specified act. And number two, a reason to expect something, ground for expectation of success, improvement, or excellence. And number three, something that is promised. Remember, God cannot lie. He is faithful and true to his word. In Titus 1:2, we find that it clearly states this point, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Notice, that's before the world began. Several scriptures continue throughout the Bible confirm that God has promised to us before the world began that he was going to do certain things for us if we would also be willing to do something in return. Now let's go a little further and define the word mediate. It is here that one must go to fully comprehend what God's promises can and will do for and through someone who comes to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through his word that we cannot come to faith and belief in him and what God can do for us and or do for us. We can come to faith in it if we believe in him. Meditate means to engage in contemplation or reflection, to engage in mental exercise for the purpose of reaching a heightened level of spiritual awareness, to focus one's thoughts on, reflect on, or ponder over. It's here that a person truly gets to know and understand who God is and what's he capable of doing. It is here one can finally come to the point of grasping the understanding of God's love for us. Until we come to the point of accepting God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit as one God, no one can come to realize who he is and how his love can save us from our sins. The word Jesus Christ spoke the word. He lived the word. And he gave us the word to live by. That is why we can say it is the living word. The Bible records God's divinely inspired word, which transcends time, and also confirms his love for us, which will in time convert us and transform us into becoming like Jesus. This is when we begin to walk in the divine love nature and character of Christ. That is why we must study the word daily, meditate on his word so that it captures us and engulfs us with his agape love. That's a love that's complete and full. In this message today that God's given me to bring to you, I want us to cover 4 points. Please look at these carefully. They include, are you ready for God's return? Number 2, will you receive or reject God? Number 3, can you receive or hear his word? And number 4, have you repented of your sins? In our first one, are you ready for God's return? According to God's divinely inspired holy word, are you ready for God's Christ's return? He's promised us that he will return for us and to establish his kingdom here on earth. When he promises he will return, I guarantee you he will. We know it can and it will happen at any time. According to statistics, for one promise to come true, exactly the way it's written, exactly with every point that's made, it is said to be 1 in 1 million odds of happening. What about 2 or more? What about over 200? Well, would you believe that's already occurred? That's right, over 200 of God's promises through his prophecies have come true exactly as they were written in the Bible. God has promised each one of us that there will be a time and a place for our life to end here on earth. then each one of us will be spending eternity in either heaven, for those who believe and have faith in Christ, or hell for those who do not believe. Well, it will be either heaven or hell. It's your choice, for these are the only two available for each one of us. The question now is, are you ready for God's return? Well, let's look at these scriptures and observe what God says to us. Meditate and ponder on these as you write them down and think on them after we've finished our sermon today. First of all, are you ready? Let's turn now to our first scripture in Matthew chapter 24, 36 through 37. But of that day and hour knoweth not man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered to the ark. Sound familiar like it does day? And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of man, the Son of Man, be. 40. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour our Lord doth come. But know this, that if a good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, verse 44, watch it, therefore be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. The key to this is we have to be watchful. We have to be ready. We cannot delay our actions today. Now, God can delay his return until as many can be saved as possible will be. But we must realize that we have to be ready. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 25 in verses 1 through 13. And this is a very important parable of the 10 virgins. Five were prepared. It says in verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And when the bridegroom returns, it says, and he says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Those with virgins that had trimmed their lamps went out. Those foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us. But you rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You see, there's five that were prepared, five that were not. And it says here later on in the scripture, verse 11, afterward came also the other virgins after the door was closed in verse 10. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Here again, it tells us to be prepared. There's no second chance for those who are not prepared. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 33 through 37. It says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. That's right. We will be known by what we do and say in our life. So verse 35, a good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's right, you will have to account. For in 37, for by the words thou shalt be justified, and by the words thou shalt be condemned. Salvation may come from ignorance, but it will not come from those who know the difference and refuse to accept or reject Christ as their Savior. In Luke 12, 31 through 40, we also find that it says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. In other words, let your light shine unto other men. And it says in 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And then verse 40, but ye therefore be ready also, for the Son of Man cometh, and an hour ye think not. We must be prepared. Now, I want to stop here and share with you a song by Carol Robertson, and it is titled The Narrow Road.
Got to walk the narrow road where the steps of Jesus go, over mountains, through the valleys too. You gotta love your fellow man, lend a helping hand, trusting in the Savior as you go. And the narrow road will take you home. That many choose that leads to hopelessness. Jesus said that way is broad and wide. But for those who choose to walk the narrow road, peace and happiness they will find. You've got to walk the narrow road where the steps of Jesus go, over mountains and through the valleys too. You got to love your fellow man, lend a helping hand, trusting in the Savior as you go, and the narrow road will take you home. You've got to walk the narrow road where the steps of Jesus go, over mountains and through the valleys too. You got to love your fellow man, lend a helping hand, trusting in the Savior as you go, and the narrow road will take you home.
That's right, brothers and sisters in Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Brother Carol Robertson has so plainly made it known, if we don't follow the narrow road, we're going to have a problem. And you know, those that in our second part of our discussion today is those who are willing to receive or reject the word. And I want to touch on that quickly in some scriptures here. Those who receive it or reject it. And the first one is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. And I'm going to review this overview. Jesus explains in a parable the sower. You know, he sowed from three different types of rooting that took place. Only the fourth took place, and then that really set its roots down. He said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is the one which receiveth the seed by the wayside. Then we go on and see some other seeds that were also sown in different soils, but their roots were not taken. But notice in verse 23, which I want to hone in on, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, some 30. In other words, the seed took hold and understood it, received it, and went with it. There are three kinds of good soils mentioned here. All three produce some fruit and are fruitful for Christ after they've become a believer. But those who do not take root will be cast away. Let's now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13, and says here, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you, that ye believe. That's important right there, very important, that you would believe in what the word said that Jesus Christ spoke years ago and what he's written in the scriptures. The word also includes some very important points. It says that there is saving word, there's teaching and training, there is guiding, old counseling, reviving, restoring, warning and rewarding, nourishing and judging, sanctifying, enriching and protecting, and many, many more. We'll go on to those later on. Now, let's go on to our third item here, and we will see that in James chapter 4, 1 through 8. He says here, from which come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Yea, lust, and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. In other words, you don't ask the right things, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulteresses and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is a what? Enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then we will look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 38 through 41. He says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life and shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth, you shall receive me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. That means that Christ lives in us. Look further on at those scriptures from 38 through 41. And it says, and he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. In our third item, it says that we must hear the word. Here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, a little short verse, but a very important one. It says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, when we hear the word, let us take hold of the word, receive it, understand it, accept it, and be willing to follow it. And then in Matthew 13, we're going to look very carefully at verses 14 through 17. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, I should heal them. In other words, conversion were healed. Says 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. 17, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So what's so important here is that we must take time to hear and heed what's said. I would like to also tell you to go to Romans chapter 10. We won't have time to go into all these scriptures today, but I want you to look closely at verses 9 through 17. And it says, "For especially 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not only call upon him, but hear him, follow him, and be willing to accept him." And then in my final, there is in chapter 11. We also say, I say you have some have stumbled and some will fall. But now if the fall of them be riches of the world, the diminishing of the riches of the Gentiles, how much more fullness is there? But we have found that the Gentiles were grafted in among the people, and we were taken into God's grace. Brothers, sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have time to finish all of chapter 11 of Romans, but please take time to read it and take time to understand what God's telling us. And in now, have you repented of your sins? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. That's right. Unless ye repent, ye shall not be saved. In Luke chapter 24, in verses 45 through 48, it says here, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it's repent and be saved. It's so important. And that's the message I want to leave with you today. Please repent and be saved. Our program today is brought to you by Berean Christian Fellowship Church, located 6214 Blountstown Highway here in Tallahassee. Everyone welcomes you to their Sunday services, and prayer times begin at 9 o'clock, Sunday school at 9:30, and church at 10:30. Services are now in session, as well as Wednesday night cell groups with young adults meeting at 6:30 p.m. They offer special benevolence assistance and farm share on Thursdays from 11:30 to 1:30. Don't forget to join them at 10:30 on their Tuesday Bible study. Now, to bring a special message that I think will compound what we're saying here today, listen to Lulu Roman sing this message, Daystar.
Let your